Leave my mask on the entire time. No, I'm joking. Good morning. I am just honored to be able to stand up here and lead our hearts in communion. It's an extended communion message, so if you're kind of like, why is this guy going longer than 5 minutes? That's why. So if you would please turn over to Mark chapter 10. That's where we're going to be reading. I was reading this story about 3 weeks ago, and it really just convicted me. And so I want to share that with you guys this morning. And so I want you to, as we're reading, really see how Jesus is amazing at identifying our needs over our wants, our desires. So as we read that, please look out for that. And so also, we're going to be reading through two interactions that Jesus has with. One is with his 12 apostles, and the other one is with a complete stranger, all right? And as we're reading, I want you to look for these three things, okay? So the first one is humility, the second one is faith, and the third is understanding. I can barely do that. Third is understanding. But before I read, let's pray. Father, thank you so much for just us being able to come here together and worship you. I just pray that you continue to move in our lives, continue to reach after our hearts, soften our hearts, Lord. I pray that we can just really grow in just our knowledge of you and our love for you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So starting in Mark chapter 10, starting in verse 35, it says, "Then James and John, sons of Zebedee, came to him. 'Teacher,' they said, 'we want you to do for us whatever we ask.'" Now, I like putting myself in, like, you know, people's shoes when I read. And so if I was Jesus, right? So more like in reality, okay? If Leo Salino and Ian McDonald came up to me and said, "Danny, do for us whatever we ask," I'd be like, absolutely not. You know, like, what are you going to ask me to do? I'd want to know, like, where are you going with this? What am I signing up for? Right? You just kind of wouldn't, like, it would be really hard to go, you know, to answer the way that Jesus does. And I love how Jesus answers them, though, right? He says in verse 36, "What do you want me to do for you?" And that's the question that I want you guys to really, like, hone in on this morning. What do you want me to do for you? If Jesus were to ask you that question this morning, how would you answer? Would you really think about it? And I'm going to get to that in a second, but I'm going to read through the rest of the verse. It says, "They replied, 'Let one of us sit at your right hand and the other at your left in your glory.'" Which I think is, like, that's a pretty cool thing, right? Jesus responds, "You don't know what you are asking. Can you drink the cup I drink or be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with?" "We can," they answered. Jesus said to them, "You will drink the cup I drink and be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with, but to sit at my right or left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared." When the 10 heard about this, they became indignant with James and John. Jesus called them together and said, "You know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must first be your servant, and whoever wants to be the first must be a slave of all. But for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." So I don't think that James and John were trying to be, like, malicious or super prideful in what they were saying, right? "We want to, like, sit at your right and left hand." You know, and I think about, like, where their minds must have been. They just want to serve Jesus wholeheartedly, right? But they're not thinking and seeing the things that Jesus wants them to see. So they're thinking that Jesus is coming back into Jerusalem to establish his kingdom there, like his kingdom on earth. And they're like, "We're going to be like his right and left hand man. Like, we're going to be able to help him. We're going to be able to rule with him, serve him wholeheartedly. And it's going to be great. This kingdom is going to be amazing." And Jesus is kind of like, that's not what we're actually going to do right now. On top of that, imagine like, it's like the rest of the seniors here, like Ian and Leo, asking me this question, and they all get mad because they're like, dude, what about us? Like, you guys think that you're better than us? Like, what makes you greater than me? And so you get all of this, and Jesus sees that these guys had this want and this desire to serve, right? But what they needed was to be reminded of what their purpose was. What was Jesus's purpose here? And so he's like, servant leadership, not authoritative leadership, is what we're going to do here. If you want to be first, you got to be last. He's like, because the Son of Man didn't come to be served, but to serve. Remember that, right? I think sometimes in our lives, though, especially as disciples, we can feel so entitled to things, right? James and John, they're like, we've walked with Jesus, and we kind of earned this. Like, we get to lead with him. We're, you know, besides Peter, we're in this group right here, right? Like, we're close, we're tight. And Jesus just reminds them. And so in this interaction, I believe that Jesus is the humble one in how he responds, right? Because he's like, no. He's like, I could tell you all these things that I'm going to do, but I need to tell you first that you're gonna serve. That's what we're going to do. But also, his response was, what do you want me to do for you? Which I love that. And instead of giving them and granting them that, he tells them exactly what they need to do, which I think is awesome. Second, when it comes to faith, I think the disciples had blind faith. Like, even Jesus calls them out on it. He's like, you don't understand what you're asking. So they just want to do things, but they have blind faith. And then third is they did not understand what Jesus was asking them to do. They just didn't quite get it yet. And so Jesus corrects them. Like I said, he saw their need. And I do think we often interact with Jesus like this. We have a want. We have a desire to be used and to serve and, you know, to be radical for God. And I think that that's amazing and we need to have that. But whenever sometimes Jesus tells us like, no, slow your roll, how do we respond a lot of the times? I know I don't like it when Jesus tells me to kind of wait. Like, no, it's not going to work the way you think it is. It's going to be more like this. Like, I imagine, well, here we go. I really want a Tesla, you guys. I would love to have a Tesla. Even if it's the base model, I don't even have to have all the cool things about it because it's already a cool car, right? And so I want a Tesla, but what I need is the job that's going to help me get the Tesla, right? More importantly, I want to be used by God. I want God to make a huge impact in my life. And I want to be useful. I want to be a righteous servant. But what I need is to allow Jesus to get all the junk that like literally disrupts me from being that servant of God that I want to be. And so think about it like I think Jesus saw these guys, their heart's in the right place, but they just need to be redirected a little bit. So again, let me ask you, Jesus said to you and asked you this question, what do you want me to do for you? How would you respond? And so humor me for a minute here, okay? Because I'm gonna get a little crazy. So would you respond with a question that you want answered? Like, would you respond to his question with another question? All right, like I said, humor me, right? So let's say Jesus goes, all right, Danny, what do you want me to do for you? And I go, all right, Jesus, why dinosaurs? Is that really the question that I want Jesus to ask? Is that what I really want him to do for me? Or how about this? Did Moses really part the water? Was it really a cloud that he followed? Because that sounds ridiculous, right? Or Jesus, you know what you can do for me? Explain to me why church is so hard. Why is church so hard, Jesus, right? Or going off of that, why can we never figure out this discipleship thing? Like, why isn't it easy, Jesus? Tell me. Like, I don't like when people call me out on my stuff. I like calling them out on their stuff, but when they call me out on my stuff, I'm like, don't do that to me. It hurts my feelings. You're just like, Jesus, I want people to be really polite, and I want them to be super nice, but at the same time, don't tell me what to do, right? It's like, Would you ask Jesus that question? Or, last one, okay? Last one. Hey, Jesus, answer me this, okay? How do we know that the Big Bang wasn't when you were born? Can you tell me that? Now, I know that that's ridiculous, right? But sometimes we can, and I am trying to be funny, okay? I'm definitely trying to make a point, all right? I'm definitely trying to make a point. I think we allow too often those types of questions to really distract us from what we actually need from Jesus, right? We forget all the things that he did for us, and what do? We go, how does this stuff even make sense anymore? And it's like, it never made sense to begin with. What's going to change? You needed Jesus in the first place. Why do you think that you need the answers to all these questions right now? Right? Think about those things. So what I'm saying is that it's not wrong to ask questions. These are not bad questions. I don't know, the dinosaur one's kind of a bad question, but they're not bad questions, right? But what would you really say if Jesus asked you that question? Like I was saying, I believe that we're a lot more like the apostles sometimes. And we look at these other stories of, you know, these random strangers that interact with Jesus and just how desperate they are to meet him and get to know him, right? And often I feel like I'm more like the apostles, where I'm like, well, which one of us is the greatest, right? I've served more. I've, you know, studied the Bible with X amount of people or whatever, right? Which one? I think we're a lot more like them. And so I could tell you what, when I needed Jesus, though, those questions, like dinosaurs or why is church so hard or discipleship, those were definitely not at the top of my list when I needed Jesus. I remember when I felt like for the first time when I needed Jesus, and I was just like, I was hurting and I was in need. I was just like, I need to get to know this guy, right? And how easily we can be blinded by just how amazing Jesus has been in our lives, right? We could start asking questions like, let me sit at your right hand and your left hand. Like, I don't deserve to ask you that. Why do I think I can do that? Let's keep reading, though, because this is what really convicted me, okay? It says in verse 46, they came to Jericho. As Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, that is the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. So just imagine, real quick, right? You got this big crowd leaving, and here's this man who's begging on the side, right? And he's blind. We only know that because it says blind Bartimaeus receives his sight above it. But he's blind, right? And you know, he just hears this crowd, and all of a sudden he realizes, oh, these people are talking about this Jesus guy. You know, like, I've heard about this guy. And he probably went from being super discouraged, asking for money, asking for food, you name it, whatever, to all of a sudden he's like, I got to get to know who this Jesus guy is. I got to find Jesus. So he starts going, you know, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. What a statement, right? What a thing to say. And it says, many rebuked him and told him to be quiet. I feel like I can do that sometimes, right? When someone's in need, someone wants help, but they're not going about it the way that I think they should, right? These are people who are following Jesus who are silencing him, right? These aren't just like, you know, random strangers. These are people, the crowds that were with him, like, stop talking, shh. Like, he doesn't want to talk, like, stop making a scene, like, hush. And all of a sudden, it says, he shouted all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stopped and said, call him. And I love this. I think this is like one of the most realistic examples of people in the Bible. It says, so they called the blind man, cheer up, on your feet. He's calling you. It's like we always do that, right? It's like when you have like a younger sibling and they're in the back seat and you're like, stop asking them the question. Like, shh, stop asking. And then finally like, we're hungry. Can we get something to eat? And you're like, why did you ask him that? And mom and dad are like, actually, I'm kind of hungry too. So why don't we pull over? And you're like, yeah, we should pull over. That's a great, yeah, it was great. It's like one of those interactions, right? Exactly. Like, yeah, we are hungry. We should do that. And so it's like one of those, right? All of a sudden they're like, all right, cheer up. He wants to come talk to you. Which I think is so funny. So they called the blind man, called him up. Throwing his cloak aside, He jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked him. The blind man said, "Rabboni, I want to see." "Go," said Jesus. "Your faith has healed you." Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. So three things, right? We got humility. I think Bartimaeus is so humble here, especially compared to the apostles, right? James and John said, "Do whatever I want. Basically, whatever I ask, please do that for me." This guy is saying, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Two different hearts here. The humility, right? He's like, "God doesn't owe me anything. Have mercy on me. Please have mercy on me." He expects nothing of God. His faith was determined to reach. It's not blind. Physically, he's blind, but spiritually, Bartimaeus is not blind here. His faith is determined to reach Jesus. It says the disciples, well, not the disciples, but people try to silence him, but he wasn't going to let it silence him. It's like, "I need to get to Jesus." Faith to humbly come before Jesus and say, "Please have mercy on me." How often do we do that? Right? "Have mercy on me, Jesus." Sometimes I'm just kind of like, "Why is everything happening to me? And why is this so hard, Jesus? Have mercy on me, Jesus. Please." You know, he also had faith to know who Jesus was as well. You know, a lot of times it's, you know, Jesus asked them, "Who am I?" All the time. They're like, "You're this, you're that." This guy knew right off the bat, Son of David. Faith to get straight to the heart of the issue. When Jesus asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" He knew exactly what he wanted. And Jesus was like, "That's exactly what you need." Right? He said, "I wanted to see." And so I think this is the part, though, that really, I really want you to see that, is Jesus says in verse 52, "Go, your faith has healed you." Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. Now, Jesus didn't say, "Go and follow me." He didn't say that. He just says, "Go. Go and do whatever you want to do. Your faith has healed you." And Bartimaeus goes, "Your way is the way now." See, follow Jesus. Your way is the way. You gave me sight. You use my faith and you've changed me. Why would I go back to the darkness that I was in before? Yeah. So remember how desperate you were at one time in your life when you wanted Jesus. Remember that. We are all undeserving. I'm going to use myself as an example here. I am undeserving of God's grace. I remember, I'm just going to be honest here. I mean, I should be regardless, right? I remember I used to swear profusely. I used to swear a lot, so you know, and I'm very glad that I don't anymore. But I used to swear a lot. I had to untrain those words out of my vocabulary. And I had to get convicted through the scriptures of why I needed to do that in the first place. And I'm going to be honest, I used to lust after girls in middle school and high school. I had to retrain my eyes. You know, Job 31:1 was something that I was constantly saying in my mind. And I remember, though, the victories I would have and how awesome it was and how fun it was when I walked into school and I wanted to swear, but I didn't. And I was like, "Oh, that was good." Or like when I walked in the hallway, right? I'm just saying, when I walked in the hallway and my eyes did not shift. Every girl that walked by, I did not. I just kept going straight. And I remember how much fun it was. And I was like, "I want more of this because I'm changing." Right? And something is different inside of me. And I started being more honest. I started being more open. And I started letting Jesus really work in my life. And then all of a sudden, you know, years go by. And it begins to get a little bit more dull. Right? It's not as the victories. I'm like, "Okay, I'm used to that. Like, I'm not lusting after women anymore. What else is, like, I need a new challenge." Like, what? Right? We can do that, though. We could be like James and John. It wasn't just serving with Jesus on a day-to-day basis now. "I want to sit at your right and left hand." Right? That's what we want to do. That's how we want to serve you. We got to be careful that we don't fall into that same trap. Right? Because we forget how important it is to serve and just love one another. And then, so, like I said, it just kind of, the zeal wears off a little bit. And then all of a sudden, I found myself asking these questions. All right, this is recently, right? And hopefully you can relate to this. You know, we can allow things like, well, life wasn't this hard when I was younger, when I made this decision to follow Jesus, right? And I think if you were to ask Jesus that, he'd look at you and go, you're right. It wasn't that hard. But are you going to still follow me? Right? Or also we can ask the question, I was a lot more naive back then than I am now. I didn't really know what I was signing up for. I think Jesus would respond, do you really think life would be better if I wasn't in your life? Even starting then to now? Don't you think I've shaped you enough to prepare you for this time? And so I think we have to ask those questions, or we have to remember these questions. And if you say, yes, my life probably would be better if Jesus wasn't in there, then we need to sit down and talk and spend some time looking at Jesus' word, okay? But if Jesus were to ask you that question, what would you say? So this morning, I realized I needed to be reminded of how much I need Jesus, right? Jesus doesn't need me, but I need him, right? Think about that. Jesus doesn't need me. He wants me. He doesn't need me, though, but I need him. Bartimaeus knew that, and he didn't allow any of his junk to prevent him from expressing to Jesus what he needed. So as we prepare for communion, remember who Jesus is. Verse 45, it says, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. We serve an amazing Lord who asks us, what do you want me to do for you? Right? How many kings do you hear telling his people that question right then, like right there? And remember that he says that I came to serve first and give my life as a ransom for many. Jesus' sacrifice is the ultimate act of love. So remember that. That's who we serve. And let's pray for communion. Father, thank you for your Son, Jesus, and all that he's done in our lives, for just the grace and humility that he has, even with us, Father. I pray that we can just reflect on all that he's done in our lives, that we can just grow in our humility towards him, humility towards you, Lord, and that we can just love you and love others unconditionally. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.